On today's episode of Laying the Points, we ask the question, what makes a great quarterback? From a football perspective, this is the most important question you can ask yourself when betting NFL football. Line evaluation, anticipating line movement, all those things, the numbers itself are more important. But when it comes to the football side, you got to understand the capabilities, the potential, the ATS covering ability of what makes a great quarterback in the NFL. That is the question we will answer today. Let's fucking go. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. My name is Chris R. Farley, professional sports bettor. Been doing this for over 12 years now at Farley Betts on Instagram and Twitter. And welcome to Laying the Points with me, Farley Betts. We give out free picks on your favorite sports in this show, and we also go over sports betting strategy and philosophy to help you win in the long term, because that's what it's all about. Updated records here for all of you. All of you. New York accent. WNBA plus 17 units. UFC plus 8 units. Tennis plus 5.3 units. CFL plus 2 units. Plus in the black. All good news for us this summer across all of our summer sports that we're betting. But this podcast is mainly NFL, mainly NBA. We touch on WNBA, UFC, tennis, UFC, CFL, I said UFC twice. I don't know why. We touch on other sports, but mainly an NFL and NBA show running solo today. And we're going to answer that question that you heard at the top of the show. What makes a great quarterback? Got a lot to say on it. I've talked about it before. And got some interesting, hopefully you find it interesting, the tidbits that we have to help you win your bets this season on these NFL quarterbacks. This show is brought to you by Better Edge. If you haven't checked out Better Edge yet, what are the hell are you waiting for? BetterEdge.com or download the desktop app. Better Edge allows you to bet against your peers. That means you're not paying any VIG. Minus 110, minus 120, God, Lord knows, minus 130. That hurts when you got to pay that kind of juice at a book, not at Better Edge. You're betting against your peers. You get to set the lines or bet against lines that others make. You can also enter contests and competitions and just ingest all the things that Better Edge has on its site, on its app, sports betting podcasts, articles, information everywhere, a social betting network, if you will. BetterEdge.com/Farley. That's F-A-R-L-E-Y to get a free $20 to play with right now. And who doesn't like free money? If I handed you a $20 bill and said, please, please take it, pretty sure you would, right? Maybe you would even use it to bet on. So go to betteredge.com/Farley right now. Get that free $20 and check out the revolution that's happening over there on Better Edge and gaining some steam in the sports betting marketplace. So what makes a great quarterback? I usually spit some pros about this before every NFL season, but it's a message worth repeating. And this show on Netflix, right, Quarterback, it's really highlighting how complex and how constant and how heavy the quarterback position is. And of course, many of us already sort of know that, right? But it's always cool to see behind the scenes everything that goes into it, their schedules, the film study, the hits they take, you know, the kind of treatment that they have to constantly apply to their body if they're going to stay healthy and stay in the game for a long time, the relationships that they build on and off the field, what their family dynamics are like, how well that works or how well it doesn't work, and maybe affects them in the game or outside the game. I mean, a quarterback is very similar. You know, I'm a veteran, Air Force veteran. Quarterback is very similar to a wartime commander. And I'm not saying it's as important, certainly not. One might be slightly more honorable than the other. But the quarterback is the commander on the field, in the field, right? And I think it's one reason why I attract to that lure, the lure of the position of quarterback, because they're not simply players, right? They need to know everything that happens on that field, both sides of the ball. They need to be likable. We've seen what happens when they're not very likable. They need to be sharp and studious, the hardest worker on the team. They need to make decisions quickly and in extremely high-pressure situations. That's very warlike. The first thing you do when you go to basic training, you know, you're on the bus and you're driving in, and the drill sergeants, they run on the bus. They scare the shit out of you. They're yelling in your face. They're huge. They have those wide-brim hats. You run inside your locker rooms or your, you know, inside your quarters, and they tell you to unlock your locker with a little, you know, it's got the combination on the back, and they give you like 10 seconds, and they're screaming at you while you do it. You're probably 18, 19. You're shaking, you know, trying to work under extreme pressure right away in basic training. Like, that's how you train for war, right? And quarterbacks, play after play after play, when they're in the game, they have to know everything that's coming at them and everything that's coming at their teammates so they can avoid situations where it's going to negatively affect their team, right? In very high pressure situations, a roaring crowd, let alone 265-pound linebackers who are running 4-4 or 4-5 these days coming right at you, or in the playoffs, elimination games. And on top of that, they're the face of the team. Right, when you think of the Minnesota Vikings, who's the first person you think of? Kirk Cousins. When you think of the Arizona Cardinals, Lord knows, the desert that is the roster of the Arizona Cardinals, you still probably think of Kyler Murray. You might still think of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, even though he's not there. I don't think you're thinking about Baker Mayfield on the Bucks, but that's another story. But they are the faces of these teams. And then it makes sense that with all this tremendous responsibility, not only comes the biggest paycheck in the game, but in 100% of cases, they cannot do it alone. And usually, not always, but usually, their most important ally is their coach. And let's get right into a player who I've been a little controversial about in the past, but somebody that I'm a bit concerned for this season. I'm not selling out hard for this quarterback. And a lot of Eagles fans are going to hate me again. I'm not trying to shit on the Eagles. But there is a big reason for – there are reasons to be concerned for Jalen Hurts and his performance this year. Listen, Shane Steichen had a two-year run as offensive coordinator with Jalen Hurts. And we've all probably read plenty, or maybe you have read plenty, maybe you should read more, about their relationship. It was a good one. We saw steady improvement between Hurts and Steichen. And obviously all those lessons and tactics, they don't necessarily just go away when he leaves. Coach of the Colts, he's gone. Super Bowl run for the Eagles, didn't make it happen, but Hurts played well, offense did well. See you, Steichen. Not everything is going to leave Jalen Hurts, right? But it could affect Jalen Hurts as the season progresses, especially in pivotal moments. You're talking about a much harder schedule, and you're talking about a huge target on his back now, especially against teams like San Francisco, Dallas, teams that feel like, oh, we probably could have beat Philly if one or two things changed in those games. Certainly for the 49ers, if, you know, Brock Purdy was actually playing, if they actually had a quarterback behind center. But Nick Sirianni, man, I've been trying to tell people this, and I guess we'll really see it this year because they got Brian Johnson coming in as offensive coordinator. I'll get to him in a second. But I think there's going to be more on Nick Sirianni to, you know, pull everyone together, make sure things are still harmonious. And he's kind of a hothead, right? He's not a stoic leader like Hurts. If you're the coach of a team and you beat the Cowboys in your division, and the first thing you do is you walk back to your locker room and you go, how about them Eagles? How about them Eagles? Shut the fuck up, Sirianni. You know, you're supposed to be the leader of that team, right? But he does shit like that. Yelling, screaming, lack of emotional control on the sidelines. Meanwhile, Jalen Hurts is like, huh, this guy, huh? That's my coach. We get along. It's cool. But do we know that Shane Steichen, you know, maybe he was a big bridge maker between the two of them, right? Maybe Jalen Hurts was more comfortable going to him to talk about their next plan or scheme. I don't know. But it seemed to be working well for Jalen Hurts. And now here comes Brian Johnson. He has college experience as an offensive coordinator. But, I mean, Utah in 2012 and 2013, he struggled. His offenses struggled to score against good defenses. Houston in 2017, a little bit better, but it's a weaker conference. Solid run game, but nothing that really jumps out about the Houston offense in 2017. And then Florida in 2020, which is probably why he got the gig with the Eagles, was his most successful stint. But that was a talented team. Arguably one of the more talented Florida teams we've seen in a while. Kyle Trask, Damian Pierce, they played really well against Bama, almost beat them. I think they dropped like 46 points on Bama. But then they stumbled in bigger games. So Brian Johnson, maybe he's going to be a great offensive coordinator, but we don't know. And we know that Hurts and Steichen had a great relationship, and now it's Hurts and Sirianni or Hurts and Johnson. Harder schedule, target on their back. I'm just afraid that Hurts might feel like he's on an island. And he already had to have so much on his shoulders last season. What's it going to be like this year? And again, you know, when a quarterback has a target on their back, watch out. The hits are coming. And they're coming especially against teams like San Francisco and Dallas. Those defenses that want to get some revenge. And it's just not an ideal spot for Jalen Hurts, who, by the way, was very mediocre against a great San Francisco defense in the NFC Championship, 15 for 25, 121 yards. And the other two defenses he played in the playoffs were the Giants, LOL, and the Chiefs, which they're a young, developing, probably were a pretty nervous defense in the Super Bowl. So now that Hurts has a target on his back, what makes a great quarterback? It isn't just the quarterback. And Hurts has a lot of great qualities. This is not me shitting on Hurts. Hurts, I don't even think it's arguable, statistically, played a better game than Patrick Mahomes. Now, I'm not a guy that's going to say he was better than Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, because at the end of the day, Mahomes was the winner. Mahomes led a comeback in the second half. If those roles are reversed, I'm not sure Hurts can do that the same way that Mahomes did, but he played really well in the Super Bowl. There's not much that Hurts isn't doing right now. But it's going to be a tougher situation. So when we talk about what makes a great quarterback, it is all those things we talked about before. Needing to know everything, work ethic, likable, sharp, quick decisions, not to mention arm talent, right? Physical talent, you know, accuracy, the obvious things. But it's also who you're paired with as a coach and or offensive coordinator. And compare that to what we're seeing with Kirk Cousins. From what I can see from quarterback, I like what I'm seeing from him and Kevin O'Connell and their relationship and how they respond to each other and how Kirk listens to O'Connell, even though he's a younger guy, right? They're not that far apart in age, but Kirk Cousins listens to him. Cousins is a hard worker. We see that. Now it's his second year in the new system. And they brought in a defensive coach in Brian Flores who might be able to finally take some pressure off Kirk in that offense in big game situations, because it was their defense that was the issue last season. But you can't let teams like the Giants do whatever they want against you. But they did, and they lost to him in the first game in the NFL playoffs, in the NFC playoffs. And they were a top 10 offense because of their pass game. 30th in run percentage, 29th in rush yards per game last season. I think that improves this season. I think Madison will be fine for their offense. But Kirk Cousins in that passing game was doing a lot in its first year and saw a lot of success in his first year with them. But when we talk about what makes a great quarterback in a betting perspective, I'd rather trust Minnesota, especially with a softer schedule, their QB coach setup, and defensive upgrades. Like, don't forget about the secondary. They added Mekhi Blackmon from USC in the draft, and Byron Murphy Jr., safety. to upgrade their secondary along with some other depth. I might trust Minnesota to be a better ATS team again this year than a Philadelphia, who's going to be frequently inflated because of their performance last year against really good teams and really good defenses. By the way, isn't it interesting that Arthur Smith is never on camera in the Netflix quarterback show? Now, I mean, you know, clearly he doesn't have the same quarterback situation that the other two coaches do. You know, Kirk Cousins is the guy in Minnesota. Patrick Mahomes is one of the best quarterbacks of all time in the NFL at this point. And Marcus Mariota, you know, not trying to be an asshole, but Mariota doesn't seem like the sharpest knife. You know, a hardworking kid, you know, blue collar type of player. Really liked how tough he played when he was on the Raiders as a backup and came in. You know, probably why he, or part of the reason why he got the starting job. Of obviously, him and Arthur Smith go back to the Titans and his days over there. But I don't know if Arthur Smith would be as willing, at least halfway through the season before Mariota was benched. I think it was halfway. Things run together last season. But I think it's interesting. You know, Arthur Smith doesn't necessarily seem like the most approachable guy. We'll see what happens there this year. But continuing here, now that we just have this concept in mind a little bit more, what makes a great quarterback? The intangibles need to be there. The physical abilities and attributes need to be there. But the environment, right? The partnership with his coach and his coaching need to be there too. Let's take a look at some examples of where there were some near perfect scenarios between quarterback and coach. Brady and Bill Belichick. Now, famously, maybe they didn't get along naturally, but they had respect for each other, right? A similar work ethic, kind of a brainy approach, right? Beat the other team before you even step on the field. A really good marriage there. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, we see it in the Netflix show. Kind of like a father-son type of relationship, and an innovative personality, right? Innovative perspectives, both of them in different ways. Freedom on the field, right? Andy Reid lets his players play free. We saw how he has that one practice session every week where they get to create their own plays. How many coaches do that? Patrick Mahomes must love that, right? Because he's already a creator on the field. He does things differently, has that sidearm or the, I mean, he'll make a pass happen however he needs to, right? But that's a huge reason. The biggest reason for the Chiefs' success is that relationship, that symbiotic relationship between Mahomes and Andy Reid. How about Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor? There are differing opinions out there about Zach Taylor. And I don't know that he's like a premier coach in the NFL necessarily, but I think he does a good job at letting Joe Burrow cook, right? Just kind of getting out of Joe's way. Joe Burrow is a natural leader. You can see it in the kid. You can see it in his tenacity on the field, the way he responds, how ice cold he is in high pressure situations. And a lot of that is probably where he comes from. And Zach Taylor, the way that he handled the DeMar Hamlin situation last season, the class that Cincinnati showed as an organization with Zach Taylor as the face of that, showed me a lot. It showed me a lot about the Bengals and where their organization is going. And a lot of that is because of Joe Burrow, right? Kind of puts him on a new level. But there's something special brewing there. I think we might see a little bit more of that this year, some evidence that that's a very symbiotic relationship. But of course, their offensive and defensive coaching, they've been there for a long time as well. There's a lot of continuity there. So I don't know if it's all Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor getting along perfectly, but I think Taylor knows how to handle Burrow. And I think there's a very similar value system there, right? There's a blue collar tenacity in Cincinnati that they share. At least it's evident in how they produce in some of the biggest games against the hardest teams, right? They can beat Kansas City. We've seen that multiple times. They can beat the Bills. We've seen it. Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford. Oh, yeah, baby. I know it wasn't last year, and it probably won't be this year because of the lack of talent throughout their roster, but in that Super Bowl run, Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford, there was some chemistry there, right? They were kind of working hard for each other, right? McVay wanted Stafford to get that first ring. McVay wanted a ring. The kind of guys that they built and brought in around Stafford to make it happen. There's some symbiosis going on there, if that's a word, for sure. Near perfect, maybe not. You know, it's not Brady Belichick, it's not Mahomes, Andy Reid, but it looked pretty damn good when it was good. And when we talk about ATS and betting, it's one of the bigger reasons why I like the Rams in week one against the Seattle Seahawks. +5.5. I know they're on the road, but these are two familiar teams. And Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford are not retiring yet. I mean, they're at least going to try hard in game one. We should see some animosity in that game, some energy, right? Maybe some old 2021 Rams energy in the building there in Seattle. What's it called? Quest Field, something like that? That's probably changed again. But what about quarterback coach duos kind of on their way? Shanahan and Purdy. Purdy good. You're going to be hearing that a lot again this year. Obviously, Brock Purdy, a young player, probably respects the hell out of Shanahan, a hard worker. Shanahan, creative in his play calling and how he can set things up for his quarterbacks. I don't know a lot of quarterbacks that don't get along with Kyle Shanahan. Maybe the ones that don't necessarily succeed, you know, Trey Lance, I don't know. But He seemed like he was believing in himself more because of Shanahan heading into last season before he got injured. And Brock Purdy sure as hell believes in himself behind Shanahan in that system. They might be on their way to greatness. Tua and Mike McDaniels. There's some obvious chemistry there. We've seen behind the scenes film of the way they talk to each other and kind of joke around. How loose Mike McDaniels makes the culture there in Miami, a very Miami vibe in the building, right? It works. South Florida, Tua, right? He's an island boy. He's a hot weather boy. Kind of works. They're on their way. Pickett and Tomlin. Kenny Pickett. He's got that blue collar, hard worker, Steel City type of mentality. He's a Pitt guy. Tomlin, Lord knows, isn't going anywhere. That probably works. How about Dougie P? Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, the young stud, needing tutelage from a coach that actually knows what he's doing. That's actually played the position. That's coached up quarterbacks plenty before. That seems to be on its way to being a really dynamic and formidable duo. And going to be a big difference maker in how they cover ATS. How about quarterbacks and coaches that we wish were better? Let's make a quarterback great. Well, Justin Herbert, you are great. But you're not going to be celebrated. You're not going to cover as much. You're not going to win the big one as much when you're with Brandon Staley. At least that's what we see. First of all, he's a defensive coach. And his game management is terrible. We've seen that already in two seasons as their head coach. Terrible game management. Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh. Now, Todd Monken might help that, just like maybe Kellen Moore helps Justin Herbert there in L.A. But Harbaugh and Lamar, I don't know if John Harbaugh and Lamar always see everything through the same lens. It sure as hell doesn't seem like it. Harbaugh is just that hard-nosed guy. Obviously, Lamar, hard worker, really wants to win. But there's a lot of finesse in Lamar, right? The way that he can run up and down the field. But maybe Todd Monken helps. Jimmy G and Josh McDaniels. Oh, I wish that was better. But I don't think Josh McDaniels is a very good head coach. He's trying to build a culture there. We see a lot of Patriots guys. We said that last week going over the AFC conference. Maybe it works with Jimmy G. I'll have to see it to believe it. Probably better combinations than you think. Probably better quarterback play than you think. Probably some moments where there's greatness at quarterback because of their coaching situations. Tannehill and Vrabel, Daniel Jones and Brian Daboll, Pete Carroll and Geno Smith, Dan Campbell and Jared Goff. All those coaches have in common, a passion, a tenacity for the game. Right? That, like, you go up to Mike Vrabel, you're like, that's a football coach. Yeah, that's a guy that I'm gonna hit hard for. Right? I'm gonna try to get that extra yard for. Daboll, same thing. Brought out the best in Daniel Jones. There's a lot left behind, I think. There's a lot more that we probably need as Giants fans from Daniel Jones. But you're probably going to see some better ATS performance from a duo like that than you are a lot of other duos in the NFL. Because Daboll gets what Jones, like the prototype that Jones is. A less talented thrower, but similar to Josh Allen. Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. Pete Carroll, I feel like he loves the underdog. You know, Geno came over there with a passion and a goal to show that he can do it. He can be a starting quarterback. Easily had the best year of his professional career as their starting quarterback last season. Led the NFL in completion percentage. Pete Carroll is just your biggest fan, man. Biggest fan. And that's exactly what Geno needed. Geno needed somebody who trusted him, who gave him the keys. Dan Campbell, we already know, right? You know, run through a wall for Dan Campbell. Now, I don't know how symbiotic Campbell and Goff are, but I think Dan Campbell and what he's trying to build there in the value system and that they're trying to build in Detroit, value players, right? Not necessarily the most talented, like jump off the page, like, whoa, this guy's next generation, but value, ethic, similar virtues, right? That's what Dan Campbell is trying to build in his Detroit Lions team. He's trying to build a team. And someone like Jared Goff, who is dismissed from a team like LA, and then he goes to a hardworking blue-collar town like Detroit for his second chance, that checks out, right? Goff is going to fight hard for Campbell. Probably going to result in more ATS wins than losses. Now, as I keep saying that, right, because this is a betting show, what makes quarterbacks great? That's the angle we're coming at. There's going to be some people who listen to this and like, oh, Chris, so I should always trust these combinations? No, of course not. Like that's not what we're saying. You know, it's about the number itself. It's about how smart the sports books are at grading these combinations and what they're capable of or not capable of in these games. But what I'm saying is this is probably the biggest difference maker week after week in real performance, points being scored, winning or losing, separation, point differential, is how effective, how great a quarterback is. And they can't be great without the system around them, without the coaching around them. The we shall sees, right? The Eberflus and Justin Fields. I don't know about that. I mean, he pulled him out of week 18 last season. He could have broke the single season rushing record. Didn't care about that for Justin Fields. Justin Fields wasn't happy about that. Eberflus just doesn't really look like, I mean, not to be superficial, but doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's going to go out and get a beer with Justin Fields or whatever Justin Fields wants to do. But a lot of that's going to be on Fields, right, and how he kind of responds to Eberflus and how they build around him, which I would say they're still lacking in many areas offensively. Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love. I think this is going to be better than you think because it's now Matt LaFleur's team, because Jordan Love finally gets his chance and he should be confident after what we saw last season in a few spots. But the difference, the dichotomy from what we saw from Jordan Love initially as a rookie in some of those preseason games and when he would step in, not good, looked very shaky. Now, what is this, his third or fourth season? Obviously, sitting behind Aaron Rodgers, he's going to look for guidance. And I think Matt LaFleur wants to give it, right? In spots where he probably wasn't able to in the past with Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers and he's really smart and he's on Jeopardy and he knows everything and blah, blah, blah. I think Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur is going to be better than you think. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, Robert Saleh and Aaron Rodgers. Oh, boy. Get the popcorn ready. I don't think that's going to work. Saleh just seems like a hard-nosed, like, you know, linebacker type of smash-mouth dude. Aaron Rodgers is not that. I think A-Rod likes to be in New York because of the fanfare and the lights. And God bless him. I mean, guy's incredibly gifted. I probably sound like I'm trashing on him a lot. But, like, you know, Colin Cowherd says it all the time. The sports host, the sports analysts out there who are not afraid to talk about some of the psychology behind things, right? They see what others may not see in Aaron Rodgers. And that, I think that's what's kind of producing some of the shortcomings and failures. There's that his mentality in some of those big game situations is flawed. And I think that this Jets team is really going to be challenged at certain parts of the season. Not an easy schedule, not an easy division. And at that point, there could be some real friction between someone like Aaron Rodgers, who's been in this league for nearly two decades, and Saleh, who seems to rule that team with an iron fist. You know, he's no pushover. If they're boys and they get beers and they fully understand each other, then I was wrong. But I don't know how that's going to jive. We will see for that combination. But from where I'm sitting, could be complicated. So what makes a great quarterback, ladies and gentlemen, when you bet on games every Sunday in the NFL or Monday, whatever, you know what I mean? Obviously, we think about the quarterback. We know that Patrick Mahomes is better than Daniel Jones, right? Like, this isn't rocket science, some of this shit. But I'm asking you to look a little deeper at the relationships when they go to the sideline, or if you can watch the press conferences afterwards, or hear the whispers from good sites that are out there that will actually tell you what's going on inside the locker room from local reporters. You want to look at some of that too, because relationships are what football is all about. That's what football is about. How good the team is, how well the quarterback responds. And if the quarterback is responding to his coach, if that's a dynamic relationship, no matter how talented the quarterback is, the team is going to fight harder, period. Because that is the leader of the team. Unless the whole team hates the quarterback, then you have a different problem. But what makes a great quarterback is not just the things that you hear everybody repeating after the combine and the draft and, like, oh, look at his measurements. Oh, he's too small. His hands are too small. He can't throw this far. His accuracy, I don't know. I guarantee you Brock Purdy, a winner, clearly a winner, doesn't pass a lot of those statistical eye tests, you know, the observable traits at a combine. But the kid's a hard worker. The kid responds. The kid can work really well within a well-designed system. And he's in a great spot there in San Francisco, right? Just look a little deeper. Just my opinion. Here's a free pick for you. Since it is Wednesday, July 26th, and there is one WNBA game on the slate, I don't think the Mystics should be underdogs tonight. I'm not sure why they are. I mean, if you just go by the statistics, the Minnesota Lynx don't shine in any category. Not really any category. They're the Lynx. They're a growing team. They're getting better. Some young players, some exciting aspects. They're good in the paint, you know. One of the top scoring teams in the paint. That's pretty good. But net rating, the Mystics have been one of the best. Defensive rating, the Mystics have been, I believe, the best all season in summation. Offensively, they're third best the last 2 weeks. And they're full of veterans. And yeah, it's the start of a tough road trip. Maybe motivation won't fully be there for the Mystics tonight. Maybe you take the Lynx in the first half if you want to hedge this bet. But I'm taking a plus money line dog on the Washington Mystics tonight, Wednesday, July 26th. And there's a free play for you. Ladies and gents, a little quicker podcast this time. Love talking about quarterbacks. Love watching that series, quarterback. Go to Better Edge. Go to betteredge.com/Farley. Get that free $20. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back probably with more NFL content next week. Going to have some great guests in the upcoming weeks as well. Until next time, Farley Betts out of here. Let's fucking go and let's fucking win.